Our first reading comes to us from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is good, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our second reading comes to us from Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. You untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we do give you thanks for this Palm Sunday. And it feels a little bit strange to not be together in the excitement of this day when Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding on the back of that donkey. But still, may we praise you. May we sing within our hearts, Hosanna in the highest, and give thanks for the gift of he who comes. Not to overthrow powers and principalities, but to overcome our sin. Oh God, Mother, we have heard this story many times before. This is the first time. May it touch our hearts. May it inspire us to receive your gift of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Pilate had just marched his soldiers from Caesarea on the coast to Jerusalem to intimidate those gathered for the Passover and secure the holy city on the behalf of Rome. Picture in your mind's eye the soldiers marching through the cobblestone streets of the city where God dwells. Hear the clump, clump, clumping of the soldiers' feet as they stomp along. arms and weapons clattering against each other, banners waving. The air must have felt heavy with fear and grief at the occupying power disrupting this holiest of weeks, reminding them that this city belongs to Caesar, not to the great I am. And then comes Jesus, not riding on a war stallion as Alexander the Great did, riding on the back of Bucephalus. He was a poor carpenter's son from Galilee, riding on a donkey and a borrowed donkey at that. It's almost comical to envision. Not long before came Pilate's legion of soldiers clomping through the streets. Now the only sound as Jesus comes into view is that of the hooves of a lone donkey. No saddle, just the cloaks of the disciples to sit upon. I wonder, did the donkey trot along, bouncing Jesus up and down, causing his teeth to rattle in his head? Did the donkey walk slowly toward Jerusalem and through its narrow streets, occasionally stopping, hee-hawing as it's coaxed and prodded to get moving again? Or did Jesus and the donkey saunter along in silence, the donkey knowing that his rider is God's own son, and the silence between rider and beast of burden filled with a strange mix of purpose, anticipation, sorrow, and pain. The weight of the world's sin resting upon Jesus' shoulders. The branches begin to wave. They sound like the leaves of a palm tree as we lie in a hammock in a land surrounded by bright aqua water. Yet these branches are held by the descendants of those God rescued from slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt and led to the promised land. They have the passages of Torah down by heart. The city, even in the midst of occupation and people gathering from different corners of the world, is infused with the palpable spirit. They begin to recite these words out of desperation and hope. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. The people cry, Hosanna, which means save us now. It isn't a cheer, it's a prayer, a cry for help. Many have come before Jesus claiming to be the Messiah, the one who would save God's people. And each time the people are left disappointed. If this Jesus will ride into Jerusalem and take back the city of Israel, the people are willing to throw their support behind him, no matter how silly the scene might look. But Jesus doesn't seem anything like what they have envisioned. He's entertaining to some. He's a miracle worker to others. He's fear-invoking and angering, intimidating to all the wrong people, or right people, depending on one's perspective, as he seeks to dismantle a corrupted view of the faith professed. Teacher, order your disciples to stop, the Pharisees in the crowd say to him. He answers, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout. As powerful as this moment is, as much as word must have been continuing to spread through the city amongst the crowds of people gathered to celebrate the Passover of this Jesus riding on the back of a donkey, Jesus knows the winds are going to change. Among those gathered crying, Hosanna, are some of the very same people who will cry out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Among those gathered crying Hosanna are some of the very same people who will participate in Jesus' public humiliation, torture, and death, completely unaware that as they strive to remain righteous in the eyes of the divine, they are betraying him. And it leaves me to wonder, how often am I guilty of the same? How often are we all guilty of the same? We honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. Consumed by ego, in an effort to be right, we are in fact wrong, unloving, unfaithful. We like to be right. But how can we be right when we cannot even recognize his righteousness? How can we be right when we do not recognize the many ways in which we need to be saved from ourselves? As we journey with Jesus toward Golgotha, may we be confronted all the more fully by our unrighteousness and the enormity of the gift we are being given and Jesus' salvific work ahead. May our hearts be pulled wide open this week as we receive the gift of grace. Amen.